Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. So glad to be with you once again. Welcome to the place to get everything you need to get the cleaning company you've always wanted, the cleaning company that you deserve. If you would like to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions for me or want to hire me to speak at your next event, all of those amazing things can be done through our producer, Natalie, and you get her at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com or just give us a call, 480-648-5149. Do it now. We absolutely love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Jackie Lysak from Homemade Perfect. Homemade Perfect has been serving the Columbia Valley, British Columbia area with residential cleaning services for 3 years. If you want to reach out to Jackie and her team, you can get a hold of them at www.homemadeperfect.com. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Thanks a lot.
So glad to have you on. So you've been doing this for 3 years. How'd you make your way into the cleaning business?
Well, I actually started about 10 years ago. We moved to the Valley. I would call it the Columbia Valley out here. And it's a resort community, so there's lots of vacation rentals. I kind of come about it like some people, a lot of your guests I've heard do come about into the cleaning business. I had somebody that said, hey, we've got lots of work. Do you want to do some cleaning? So I didn't really take it serious for several years. And at one point, I swore I would never clean another person's toilet and went back into working in an office. After a year and a half of being very bored and gaining 10 pounds, I thought, you know what? I can do way better out cleaning again. And that's when about 3 years ago, really started to take my business serious and realize that it actually is a great business.
You may be the first guest that's alluded to owning a cleaning company as part of a weight loss program. I like that.
Yeah.
So are you at the point in your business where you're still doing a lot of the cleaning yourself? Do you have help? Is it some sort of a hybrid?
Yeah. You know, so this, it's funny. I never, like I said, didn't really take it as serious as I should have. And we were doing a lot of work. The business kept growing through word of mouth. Then I got the website and things have just kept developing. And what I'm finding now is, yes, I'm doing way too much work in the field. I'm getting older. I'm getting tired. But I also realize that I'm much more creative and I want to supervise and grow my business. And I won't be able to do that if I'm working, 6 to 8 hours a day cleaning.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even if you could do it physically, mentally, that's a lot to ask from anybody, even a business owner, to like, hey, switch gears from cleaning the toilet to going on a sales call to working on culture to building a system to paying bills. It's a lot to ask. So I couldn't agree more. So that's it. How did you find our happy little community? How did you find Cleaning Nation?
Well, I'm a huge motivational YouTube person, and I get up every morning and as I'm getting ready, you know, the first hour and a half of my day is listening to motivational stuff. And that's how I came across you on the YouTube and have learned a lot listening to other business owners. And now I really see, okay, now I'm going to put this into place and to really grow my business.
Well, that's a huge disappointment. I've really been trying hard to be a demotivational speaker and really beat everybody up. So I don't know how I made it into your playlist, but I'm glad that you're a guest on the show either way.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. So enough of this nonsense. How can I be of service to you today, Jackie? How can we help you grow your cleaning company?
Okay. So yeah, just as I was telling my story there, I do realize that I have a lot of potential to run my business. I believe I'm quite business savvy and my talents can be used better. And so my question to you is, how can I transition from working in my cleaning business to running it?
Great question, for a couple of reasons. one, that's probably the biggest lever slash shift you can make in your business that really affects your life. And equally importantly, that is something I deal with or get to coach on daily. So I know that that's a question at the top of Cleaning Nation's mind, and I'm excited to walk you through that today. So there's a lot of steps in that, believe it or not, that most people start at the wrong spot in terms of how can I physically change the things that I do. And that's important, but we got to back up before we can get there. The first thing we need to do is believe that you can do it. So many people I coach with, that's huge. They kind of have this false association between more money equals, or more work equals more money, and less work equals less money. So they kind of subconsciously self-sabotage themselves because they've got this, again, bad belief running in the background that the less I work, the less money that I'll make, and I don't want to be lazy, or I can't get something for nothing. So they kind of have this negative script running in their brain that isn't effective. So the first thing we've got to do is eliminate all of those scripts and say, if we would like to increase our income or our success level, we've got to increase the value that we bring to the universe or our community in this case. And the way that we do that is generally not by cleaning a toilet. If I was cleaning a toilet right now, I couldn't be helping you, Jackie. We couldn't be helping the 1,000 listeners out there. I could only be serving one person. So we want to change that mindset away from more work equals more money and success to higher quality of work allows me to affect and impact more people in a positive way. And when I'm cleaning toilets, I can't be impacting the world. I know that's real philosophical, but it's important. Any questions or thoughts on that before we transition?
No, that's exactly what I've been deprogramming myself over the last couple of years and saying that exact same thing. More work does not equal more success.
And oftentimes it's actually the opposite. More work equals more work and sometimes the same amount or less success. So first and foremost, we're going to make the distinction of we need to improve the quality of our work, not the quantity. And this gets tough because a lot of times people are comfortable with the quality of their work. You know that if you go spend 2 hours cleaning someone's place, you know what to expect. You know that you're good at it. You know that the person will probably be very appreciative. You know it'll look one way when you start and another way when you're done. And there's kind of this emotional satisfaction around that. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, that's fair.
Okay, so there's not a lot of emotional risk. You're not stepping out on an emotional ledge to go clean someone's house. So a lot of times we default to what we're comfortable with, even though our minds tell us this isn't the right thing to do. Our hearts tell us, I know that this will make me feel the way I want to feel, comfortable and secure. Which is good if you want to feel comfortable, secure, bad if you want to build something amazing. Fair?
Yeah, no, correct.
Okay, cool. So first and foremost, let's get between our ears and get that all cleaned out and understand that if you want to make more money or have more of an impact or change the world, you need to improve the quality of your work first and foremost, and the quantity really is not as big of a deal. Second, the way that I like having people do that is to box your time. So many of us, especially nowadays, and I sound like old man Campion, but it's the truth, we've got the phone texting, we've got Facebook Messenger going, we've got emails coming in. We've got people calling and texting us at the same time. We've got the TV's on, radio, podcast, yada, yada, yada. There's just so much noise in the world. And we're just used to kind of, like, my kid doesn't even watch TV anymore. He has a TV on while he plays his video game or plays with his phone. God forbid he just plays with his phone or just watches TV or, you know, even crazier, take a walk outside. We've got to have 42 different kinds of stimulus. So we kind of get used to that in our personal lives. And that ekes over and starts trashing and destroying our business lives. When I say the quality of work has to go up, you can't do good quality, important, high-level work while you're texting, emailing, cooking, watching a baby, whatever the heck, you know, rebuilding an engine. You got to really focus. So first and foremost, box time with the understanding that, hey, I'm not going to be able to make the transition from today I work 50 hours a week in my business, cleaning and ordering supplies and dealing with employees and do all that sort of stuff, and tomorrow I'm going to do zero working in my business and 100% working on my business or running the business, right? That's an unrealistic expectation. Is that any questions, comments, thoughts so far?
Yeah, no, good point. Yeah, definitely food for thought.
Okay. So the way that we're going to do that, and believe it or not, if you can get 10 really good hours uninterrupted, focused with just you working on one task until it's done, that's plenty. If you could just go from 0 hours a week working on your business and doing the important things to 10, you'll be shocked at the amount that you can get done in just 10 focused hours. People so much, they spend so much time futzing around with, oh, I had to do that. And then I watched a YouTube video and then this guy called and I talked to him for 20 minutes and I fooled him and they get nothing done. And all of a sudden they look up and it's like, wow, it's 8 o'clock at night. I've been quote unquote working all day, but I haven't gotten a blessed thing done. The way you fix that is you box time. So you might say, if I'm going to deal with emails or texts or phone calls, that happens from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. and from 2 to 3 p.m. and that's it. So if an employer, customer, somebody calls not during those time, you get back to them at the time that you're ready to deal with them and you eliminate this constant flow of interruptions. And you might say from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, I'm going to work on my business, on systems, on processes, or whatever you feel is the business owner working and kind of eliminate that. Just I respond to stimulus as it comes. If somebody calls me, I pick up the phone. If somebody texts me, I text them back. If they email me, I do it. If someone sends me a picture of kittens playing, I watch that. We've got to kind of take charge. So comfortable? Are you with me so far?
Yeah, you must have a video camera in my house.
I'm going to say this without trying to come off weird. Sadly, you are not the first person to accuse me of that. And no, I'm not videoing anybody. But yeah, I feel your pain because I've been there, my friend.
Okay.
Cool. So the first thing is get between the ears and make sure that's set. Second is understand we've got to improve the quality of time. And the way that we're going to do that is box our time and be very protective. And that's going to go for two things. One, we're going to eliminate interruptions. So all the low dollar tasks that we're doing, like answering phones, buying supplies, running our business, putting out fires, we're not saying that's never going to happen because that's unrealistic. We're just going to put a box around it. So like from 10 to 1, I'm going to allow myself to just do whatever. I'm going to put out fires. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to deal with that. That's fine. But from 1 to 2, I'm going to be very focused. I'm going to work on my business. I'm not going to get interrupted. I'm going to work on one thing only with no distraction. I'm going to continue until it's done. Also kind of pay attention to your biorhythm. Some people hit their stride around 3 p.m. That's when you want to do this time. Some people are like, oh my gosh, I'm fried by then. I need to do it first thing in the morning. Fine. Set that time based on your schedule and kind of when your natural body hits its rhythm. Cool.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Love that advice.
Yeah, I've done it. It works. I've coached people. It works. I promise you, this is all from experience, not some book I read and heard that it would work. Last, we need to, so hopefully now you're like, okay, now I've got an idea of what my mindset should be like. I've got an idea of how to accomplish that, kind of turn down some of the noise in my business and the constant interruptions. Finally, well, what is it should I be working on? Is that, I'm guessing that's the next question you've got.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And let's talk about both things. Because equally important is what shouldn't I be working on? It's very important that at any time, if I just jumped out, since I'm filming you, I jumped out of the room that you're in that you didn't see me and said, what are you doing? And is this something you should be working on or shouldn't be working on? You should be able to answer that. So let's start with what you shouldn't be working on, and that'll make what you should be working on much clearer. First and foremost, okay. Public enemy number one is actually doing the work that you your business, right? So if you own an auto repair shop, you should not be turning wrenches. If you own a hair salon and you really want to be a hair salon owner, you should not be cutting hair. You probably see where this is going. If you're the owner of a residential cleaning company, you should not be cleaning. Not your house, not anyone else's house, not for money, not for free. You pay people to do that. The reason that you do that, it's not that you're too good to clean or that you're above cleaning or that it's not an important or worthwhile job. It's just that the most that you can make, no matter how good of a cleaner you are, if you're the best cleaner that ever walked the face of the earth, depending on what city you're in, maybe you make 12, 13, 14 bucks an hour, right? The best cleaner in the world. You can't pay them $100 an hour. It's just not worth it, right? Is that fair?
Fair, yeah.
Okay. The reason is there's only so much value you can bring by cleaning, right? The president of the United States, 5 minutes of his time might be worth $1 million because he can make a tremendous amount of value or disvalue in hundreds of thousands or millions of people's of life with his time. So we got to make sure that first and foremost, we're doing high value things, cleaning, not that there's any shame in it. It's just not what the owner should be doing. If you were cleaning the toilet, who is running your company? Said it before, if you're on a plane, the pilot comes out of the bathroom with a scrub brush and says, man, I got that thing good. It's sparkling. You are not going to go, oh, I feel really good about this. You're going to panic immediately because no one's flying the plane. We need to make sure that you're flying your plane. So cleaning would be a great indicator of what you should not be doing. Paying bills, probably not something that you should be doing. Answering the phone, not something you should be doing. Buying supplies, running around, picking up this, dropping off that, not something you should be doing. Fixing vacuums, fooling with maintenance on your supplies, not something you should be doing. Those are all anything you can pay someone else $10 to $15 an hour. If you're doing it, you're only making $10 to $15 an hour. You're not really moving your business forward. You're futzing around with a vacuum cleaner. So those are, that's kind of the not do list. Any other questions about things you're like, I'm not sure which list this goes, or anything you think might be on the edge yet, or is all that sound good?
Well, yeah, that's amazing. I'm listening to you thinking, okay, that's exactly what I do. I mean, every place I go, I'm usually fixing a vacuum, and yeah, I'm multitasking like crazy. So yeah, exactly. What should I be doing?
Okay, we'll get to that. That's up next. The one thing I want to dispel first, and I'm going to just come out and be super sexist. Women are worse at this than men, is thinking that you can multitask. Because I think women are actually slightly better kind of doing two things at once, but then that causes them to think they're even better than they are. There really is no such thing at multitasking. There's only quickly turning your attention from one thing to another. So if while we're having this conversation, I'm writing an email, I'm not having a conversation and writing an email. I'm talking to you and ignoring my email, or then letting my mouth run on autopilot while I focus on my email, and I'm quickly going back and forth. So I'm not multitasking. I'm doing two things, one rapidly after another, switching back and forth, and I'm doing them both terribly. So please, please, please don't fall for that falsehood of I'm multitasking. I'm really good at multitasking. No, you're not. Nobody ever in the face of the earth has been good at multitasking. They're awful at it. I promise you, that's just how it goes. So first and foremost, whatever you're doing, if it's cleaning, clean. Be focused to be in the moment cleaning. If you're doing high-level stuff, let's do that. So I wanted to dispel that myth before we went forward. All right, let's now talk about the important things that you should be working on. First and foremost, anything that's going to bring a good return on your investment. If you're cleaning a toilet and you charge a customer $30 for that, well, you still have to, you know, get that customer and bill them and buy the supplies and show up and all that. So it's still only worth $15 an hour, low return on your investment. A good example, probably the best example of a high return activity would be creating systems in your business. I've got businesses I've sold, not 10 years ago, but well over 5 years ago. I guarantee if I walk back into those business, some of the systems that I created over a decade ago are still making money for the guy that paid me a ton of money for those systems years ago. So systems are beautiful in that you put them to work once, and they keep paying you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever again. If you've ever worked at fast food, you know that when you go to the McDonald's, they've got this silver thing to pick up the fries. And instead of hand stuffing all those fries in there, they scoop them and it goes, boom, it fits right into the little container that they've got. Some genius created that system 20 years ago. And I don't know, man hours have been saved stuffing fries in boxes because of this little tool. So that would probably be my best first and foremost example of a good return on your investment. You create the work once, you get paid on it forever. Rock stars are a great example of that, right? The Beatles, they recorded Abbey Road one time 50 years ago, and their kids' kids are still getting paid. Actually, I think Michael Jackson's estate is now, I think he bought all of them. But long story short, they did the work once and they got paid forever. That's high value work. Second would be culture. The larger you get, the more employees that you've got, you'll start moving away from, oh, getting customers is hard. That's usually the first kind of hurdle. And then once you get to, I don't know, 200,000 to 300,000 revenue, it moves to employees. Oh my gosh, I've got to get employees. And all these employees suck. The way that you fix that is not throwing more money at it. It's creating a culture and a community that's special that they want to be a part of. Those are things that only you can do. And there's a high return, right? If you create a culture, that culture can sustain 100 employees. You don't have to redo that work every time. There's just a culture that people want to be a part of. So that's something that gives a good return. Strategy, where are we going? How are we going to get there? Our mission, vision, values, high level things that kind of are the foundation of what your business is, why your business exists. That would be the, your mission, the what's important, the rules that you're going to play by to accomplish that mission. Those would be your values. Those are things that are super high value. Do the work once, you get paid forever. Systems, culture, strategy. Those are probably the best examples I've got. Whew, that was a lot of talking. I think I'm worn out. Questions, comments, rude remarks, give me your thoughts on that, and then we'll move on to the lightning round, young lady.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I know when you're talking about systems, something I implemented a few months ago, so give me your thoughts on this, is I started doing YouTube videos of me doing the cleaning. And then when I'm going through the hiring process, I ask people to watch them and comment on them so that I know that they've watched them. And I felt that if I started to do that, people were seeing how I wanted it done and they could watch it. And if I do have issues with a job, I can say, okay, go back to, you know, when I did the bathroom cleaning, can you please watch that again? What's your thoughts on that?
My thought is that you've been paying very close attention and made a perfect analogy of what a good system would be, because you've nailed two of the three things I talked about. That's a system, right? Instead of every time you get a new employee, okay, let me walk you through, here's how you do it. And there's a bunch of stuff wrong with that. Aside from having to do the work over and over, what if you're having a bad day and you forget, right? You do it, you're crabby. Well, then you're the time that your new employee is going to spend with you is crabby. And what if you forget to do it right because you're just having a bad day? So if you do it on a YouTube video and you do it wrong or you forget something and you don't think your attitude's great, well, good. You just shoot it again. So you've covered it because it's a system. You do the video once and you can keep having that work that you did a long time ago continue to pay you. Check. And then culture. I'm a huge fan. The only thing I would add to it is the employee thinks that you're teaching them how to clean a bathroom, but what I really want you to be teaching them is how to be a good community member. So I'd put 50, 60, 70% of that video about, no, we don't lie, cheat, and steal. We have fun here. We're all about making money and having fun and working hard. I'm making my core values. But really, a lot of it's going to be about how to be a good community member. And then while you're having that important conversation, you're going to show them how to dust or mop or sweep or vacuum or take out the trash or whatever the case may be. So I love it. It hits the system. It checks the systems checkbox and it checks the box for culture. Excellent, excellent idea.
Okay, so yeah, I love that. And yes, I would like to implement that as well. And then into another video about my mission statement, et cetera, and how I feel about our clients. Perfect.
So I'd be careful about that. Because if you tell somebody, go watch a video about our mission statement, that's boring and nobody wants to watch it. But if you say you've got to watch these videos on how to clean, and as you're cleaning, you're saying, now the reason that we do this step in this way is we desperately want to see our clients' lives change. We want to make them feel like they can come home to a safe space, and we really want to create this result for them. And that's why you came, right? When we talked about the interview process, you said that you really want to serve other people, and this is a way that you can serve and make them better. So that's what, see how I'm kind of teaching you one thing, but I'm talking about another. So I don't know that I'd say,
yeah, okay.
Here's a 20-minute rant on me talking about core values. They're not going to watch that. You should just infuse your core values into everything that you do, including these videos.
Perfect. Okay. I love that. Thank you.
Cool. All right, sister. Just so I don't rant till the end of time, we're going to hit the lightning round. I'm going to shut up and give you the opportunity to bring some value. Three quick questions. You're going to give three amazing answers. I can't wait. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
So the best piece of advice I heard years ago listening to Tony Robbins was make yourself an expert in your field. And so I am like, I watch videos on vacuuming. I watch videos on window cleaning. I watch lots of different videos and motivational stuff as well. But my goal is to make myself an expert in my field and that my clients will come to me with their questions.
Love it, love it, love it. And I love that you're like, hey, my best advice I got was to make an expert in my field. And guess when you're sharing that on a podcast that helps you become an expert in your field. So you're actually following through, not just saying that's a good idea. You're actually doing it. I do want to propose not just to you, but to Cleaning Nation. I don't know the first thing about cleaning. And I promise if I started a cleaning business, it would be amazing. So I just want to encourage you, Jackie, from my perspective, it's okay to know about cleaning and all that sort of stuff, but that is not your field. Your field is solving pain for people and creating communities and building systems and culture. So just, again, low value work, being really good at getting stains out of granite or some sort of weird, funky countertop material. High value, freeing up housewives to be able to spend time with their kids and enjoy in a clean environment. So I just want to encourage you, how you define your field can make a big difference on how your whole organization looks at life. And I might have gone okay. Too far, but is that fair?
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, I can see that I can implement that as well. Thank you.
Cool. I just wanted to make sure that, again, more for Cleaning Nation than for you. Second question, what's the biggest mistake you made in the cleaning business? Maybe we can save ourselves some of the same headache.
Okay, so my big thing is, so if I tell a client I'll be there at 11 o'clock and we're finishing a job, but, you know, for various reasons, maybe I have to stay another half hour longer to do something, then I get that anxiety because I'm not at that next job, which my client may not even care that I'm not there at 11, but I care. So I want to get my biggest mistake is telling clients exactly what time I'm going to be there instead of saying, you know, I'll be there between 10:30 and 11:30.
Yeah, great point. I don't know that you're right. I don't know that they care what time you're there, but they do care that you keep your word. Well said. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right now, today, before they go to bed that will improve either their business or their lives?
So for me, 3 years ago, when I left the office work and I went back to cleaning, I became grateful. I became grateful for the work I had, my clients. And my business has grown. I've heard it said before, if you're grateful, good things happen. And it's been amazing. Just my business keeps growing and growing. And I believe it's because I'm very grateful for what I have.
I Man, well said. Here. Couldn't agree more. Thank you for that, Jackie. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow, all of your wisdom. I appreciate you. I know the Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, when you want to check out Jackie's show notes page and get everything you need to grow your cleaning company, you know you'll find it all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.